AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions. A very happy Wednesday to you here. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we do have a score. One run in now as the Guardians have put together a couple of hits, a couple of runners on base here early in the game against Brian Wu and Seattle. So we got a 1-0 game early. We do have, of course, about a half a dozen games coming up a little bit later here tonight, including the New York Yankees getting ready to take the field against the Baltimore Orioles as we all await the return of one Gerrit Cole. And so is Joe Maddon, no doubt, as we welcome her in here. Joe, we've got, I think, some pretty interesting matchups coming up this hour and throughout the night in Major League Baseball. It is kind of a getaway day. So you got some teams that are trying to finish these games and they're hopping on a plane and flying to the next destination. That's when people like Patrick Corbin win games like Washington did earlier today against Arizona. But what do you think? The Yankees, they get their ace back, but they lose. Their slugger here in Judge, he's out of the lineup. Does it change the way you look at this game coming up, Joe?
It really doesn't. It is detrimental here not to have Aaron Judge in the lineup, but this team has so many playmakers. I'm looking for Soto to really step up in this game. And with Gerrit Cole coming out here, how can we not look at a play on the Yankees? We've seen what Gerrit Cole can do over the seasons, and I think he's ready here, even against the Baltimore Orioles lineup. So I'm looking at the Yankees in the first five innings on that run line, laying the half a run. That's coming in at minus 120. And I do think this is a game that can get away from the Baltimore Orioles quick. With their young rookie coming out here, Cade Povich, I think he's going to have the struggles versus the Yankees. This will be his first time of facing them. Mm. And I think the Yankees can have a big win in this game. Joe, if you're looking at the full game, I would be ulting even that run line, laying 2.5 with the Yankees. I think they can win a big one here. Gerrit Cole is going to get them off to a hot start.
Yeah, no, I don't hate that at all. I do think that he's going to be all pumped up, all jazzed, as the kids like to say there, Joe, getting ready here. They could throw out some jazz hands for Gerrit Cole here. Let's talk about another game getting ready to start here with the Boston Red Sox. And they'll have their ace, Bello, on the mound. But Gausman, the ace for Toronto, your boys in Toronto, can they score enough runs here and get this job done, or are we fading them here? I don't know what to do with Toronto anymore.
Toronto's offense has been an absolute mess. Their bullpen's not great. And Kevin Gausman at home, while he can get those strikeouts on the board, can he really have a strong performance here versus the Red Sox? I don't think so. I do think he's going to go over on his strikeout prop. That's coming in at 6.5 at plus 100, Joe. But if you're looking at a side in this one, it is the Red Sox for me. With Bello coming out, I love the plus money on the Red Sox as a dog in this situation. The Toronto Blue Jays, with Gausman at home, that ERA is above 6. And he's still been able to get those strikeouts on the board, even though having that inflated ERA. But I don't trust him not to allow those runs, you know, one strikeout, one run allowed. He might get yanked in this one, but I still do think he goes long enough that he gets over the 6.5 strikeouts.
Yeah, we're going to know quickly with him. I'll tell you that right now with both these pitchers, because both have had some issues the last couple of starts. So I think we'll pay attention. Good in-game live betting opportunity as well. We'll have you covered here on the Sports Grid Network. Speaking of another pretty good pitcher, though, Joe Ryan on the mound taking Taj Bradley of Tampa. Ryan at home, Minnesota has dominated Tampa Bay over the last couple of seasons. And Joe Ryan is the better pitcher. Bradley has not been good on the road. So how do we approach this one?
Well, Joe, we got to make a bet on Joe Ryan here. There's three Joes in a row. It's Joe Ryan in this. I think he can go over 18 and a half outs in this. We're getting plus money at plus 142. We've seen him be able to go over this number. He's staying deep in games. And here versus the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't trust this offense to hit hard off of him and put him in a situation where we're not going to see Joe Ryan go long into this game. So Joe Ryan over the 18 and a half outs at plus 142, strongest play of this game. I'd also look at the Nerfy in this one. I think Bradley can come out strong to start this game as well. He looks so sharp in that last game out versus the Cubs, but Tampa's been struggling to hit. So I think both of these pitchers go deep, both have success, but it's the Twins that I do think will get those runs on the board and can get the win at the end of the day. So Joe Ryan over the 18 and a half outs and the Nerfy, and this one is juicy at minus 144 if you want to play that as well.
So we were talking about it earlier with the White Sox. They managed two hits and won a game last night against Houston, but now they got, you know, Crochet, their young phenom on the mound, who has been money to back. Can they go 2-0 against Houston in 2 days here? How do we approach this kid?
Yeah, they absolutely can. I love what we've seen out of Crochet on the season. He has been phenomenally strong. He's 5-1 with a 1.13 ERA over his last eight starts. That's 48 innings pitched. It's not a fluke how good he has been coming out here. And I love the White Sox in that home dog situation. I do think we jump on them at plus 102. Hunter Brown has been strong for the Houston Astros. He hasn't been allowing a lot of runs either. This is a lower scoring game that I do think is a battle to the very end. Crochet over 17 and a half outs. Joe, I was shocked at why this number was only minus 138 to the over. I expected him to be posting a number here of 18 and a half. So I jumped all over the 17 and a half outs for Crochet. I do think he can go deep enough into this game here. This is the Houston Astros, whose bats I really don't trust. So I don't think they're going to hit him in this one. I do like this to be a lower scoring one with the White Sox getting the win.
So what are we doing with the Dodgers and the Rockies? An unbelievable finish to that game last night. What did they get? 7 runs in the top of the ninth to lose Colorado to the Dodgers. I think 34 runs total in 2 games now. What are we doing tonight with these two teams?
Okay, with the pitching matchup, I don't trust either pitcher here, Joe, and I would love to come on here and tell you, take the Colorado Rockies with this beautiful plus money at home. Nice home dog. But you said it. We saw them fall apart and collapse yesterday in that game, and this Dodgers lineup can be so completely dangerous. Now, I did look at taking this one to the over, but as soon as we get into those double digits, it's really hard to take this one to the over. I think we get off to a hot start, though, with those runs coming in that first inning. Now, I looked about the Yurphy, but there was no value at all on the Yurphy. So if you take it, actually, over 1.5 runs in that first inning, that's coming in at plus 186. And I think between Bobby Miller here and Ryan Feltner, we're going to see both of these lineups be able to hit. It could just be the Dodgers getting those 3 runs in that first inning, like we've seen in multiple games like this. But I do think both of them have the ability. Bobby Miller, I don't trust to save my life out there, Joe. I do think he'll give up these runs to the Rockies. I won't be shocked if the Rockies win this one tonight.
Yeah, I would love to see that plus money bet. I love that. And Miller's coming off the IL, so who knows what you're going to get from him here. So we've got a little dabble with everything here, Joe, tonight. And I mean, does it get any better? Because we get to end the night with the Athletics and Royals. Does it get any better, Major League Baseball, sticking us with the Dodgers and Colorado, although that might have been one of the best games I've seen in the ninth inning last night. And now we got to deal with the A's and Kansas City here tonight. But good news is at least we get a game 6 in the NHL playoffs. So I want to get your thoughts on that when we come back here, because I was there and it was disgusting. And now I don't know what to do. I can't keep betting on these Florida teams and continuing to lose here. So We'll get your thoughts on that when we come back here. Joe, we'll get you an update as they are underway here in the Bronx with the Yankees and the Orioles. We'll let you know what's happening. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Joe Maddon stepping back in as the Orioles have already scored one off of Gerrit Cole here in the top of the first inning. As it looks like, still got two outs, runner on second. Gunnar Henderson got on, made it to third, and a ground rule double now has brought him home. So 1-0 Orioles on top of the New York Yankees, Gerrit Cole making his season debut, which is kind of crazy to think here, Joe. We'll keep you posted as that goes. But let's talk some hockey here, Joe, because we are having a game six. Not one, but two shots Florida had to close it out. No go. And once again, they shot themselves in the foot last night with giving up shorthanded goals and some just horrific penalties, just stupid penalties. Yeah. Given that Oiler, shorthanded special teams power play group, an opportunity to shine, and that's exactly what they did. Very entertaining game. I mean, it was 5-3, but really it was an empty netter with 10 seconds left. But I don't. What are we going to get in this next game here that you'll be at?
You know, the Florida Panthers have to get off to that hot start, Joe. That's what we've seen in the last two games is the Edmonton Oilers have been able to get off to the hot start to start these games, get out of Panthers. And it's almost like we've seen that panic mode, like you talked about, them just making bad mistakes out there, causing those penalties, and then allowing Edmonton to score on a shorty two games in a row isn't something that we're used to with this Florida Panthers defense. This is a suffocating defense that has been so strong at shutting things down. Now, Bobrovsky still looked pretty solid in that last game. Edmonton's found a way to go high on him, and because they've been able to go high on him in the last couple of games, I will be taking this game on Friday to go over that total, over 5.5 right now, sitting on FanDuel at -104. I do think this is a back and forth battle between these two teams, but Florida needs to find a way to contain Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid has come to life in this playoff series. Now, Joe, we look at the teams that have been down, like the Edmonton Oilers were, that were able to force a game six. There's only been four teams in history that have been able to do that. One of those teams only came all the way back and hoisted that Stanley Cup, and that was the Leafs back in 1942. The Edmonton Oilers have their work cut out for them, but I tell you, if we're sitting here and talking about a game of seven on the grid next week, Joe, I won't be shocked because Florida needs to clean quite a few things up. It's going to be tough, though, for Edmonton to win three in a row.
Yeah, well, it was tough for Florida. I mean, to win three games in a row and then almost impossible now to get that that one final. But give Edmonton credit, right? They have made it back in, and give Skinner credit too, because he has faced a ton of shots. I mean, I think they were north of 30 shots in the last couple of games. But he kind of, when the offense does what they've done there, and Connor McDavid has done it, it makes life a little bit easier, but he still has made some really great saves. It just feels like Florida is going to keep peppering them, right? That would make the most sense. Keep doing what you're doing, and at some point, they're not all going to be saved, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key here. The Florida Panthers have the ability to put everything on net. We've seen that out of this team, and they're so strong at doing so. Now, Matthew Tkachuk came alive in that last game. It was so phenomenal to see him be able to get that goal. That was at +200. And then for him to make that save that Connor McDavid then ultimately shot in, it was a heartbreaker. But that effort out of Matthew Tkachuk is absolutely phenomenal out there on the ice. It did look like the Florida Panthers gained the momentum in that game, and we're going to be able to come back and force that one to go to OT. I'm actually shocked it didn't go that way. You look at that ice, though, last night. That ice wasn't great, Joe. I don't know. You were at the game. You saw it in person if the humidity was coming into factor. But that puck was bouncing, and it was bouncing weird out there. When they get back to Edmonton, Edmonton has some of the nicest ice in the league, and that does benefit the Edmonton Oilers with their fast skaters. But we saw Florida come in that first game and have the benefit of that nice, beautiful ice out there. So I do think Skinner will be strong. I'm looking at both goaltenders to go over their save shots on goal based on what the numbers come out as. But Joe, I do think the numbers will come out low enough that we can go over. Like you said, Florida needs to continue to just find a way to get that puck on Stuart Skinner. And then we've seen Edmonton be able to go over what the Florida Panthers have been able to do by like 5 or 6 goals most of these games, or shots on goal most of these games. So I do think both of these teams will get the shots in this game 6 battle. It's going to be epic.
So what do we do now that Connor McDavid has figured it out and no Leon Draisaitl right now, which is hilarious, but he's doing it. Do we just focus in on McDavid to shot on goal props, 4 or more, 5 or more? I mean, it just feels like, especially in an elimination game, there's probably no reason not to back him and expect that he's going to, you know, throw everything he possibly can at Bobrovsky.
Oh, absolutely. Connor McDavid absolutely knows all the weight of this series is on his back. With him coming alive out here, being able to get those points, get those assists, get those goals, he has forced this game 6. So I am going to look at Connor McDavid for 2+ points again. If there's a goal, if he's going to be involved in it, whether it's him himself getting that goal or the assist, I'd look at Matthew Tkachuk as well. Now Matthew Tkachuk has come alive. And then Sam Reinhart, he's pivotal to the Florida Panthers, and he's someone you're going to get more value. Now, it's been really interesting to see as these lines shifted for the Edmonton Oilers, some of these other guys being able to register those points. Corey Perry is a player that you're not getting a lot of odds for him over on FanDuel. But if on your book you're getting Corey Perry for that point, he's on that same line as Ryan McLeod. And Ryan McLeod has been scoring. He's been finding a way. Perry was able to get the goal in the last game, assisted by Connor McDavid. So these lines have been shifting. Players are all over. And I think Corey Perry is another one to look at.
Can't believe he's still playing. Like, every time I turn around, he's on a team that's in the Stanley Cup. Like, dude, what is, like, it's just amazing to me that he figures out and signs these contracts with all these teams that somehow end in the playoffs and in the Stanley Cup. Unreal. Joe Madden, thank you so very much. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I'd love it to go to a game 7, but I'm hoping I don't have to. So enjoy Game Time Decisions. We'll be back, an update from the Bronx, when we continue here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday as we are off and running. Plenty of Major League Baseball underway here. Yankees threatening in the bottom of the first. They're down 1-0 to the Orioles. The Guardians up 3-0 on Seattle. And in addition to, we just talked, the NHL Game 6 coming up tomorrow. We're coming out of an amazing Sunday at the U.S. Open, and we're heading for another pretty good tournament there on the PGA Tour. How about the Travelers, another one of these elevated events, and Brady Cannon knows all about that, stepping in, joining us here. And Brady, your worst nightmare came to fruition. I'm sorry I even brought his name up last week when you appeared here and we were talking about the Open, and I made the mistake of bringing up Bryson DeChambeau. I liked him as the live golfer of the year. Well, he was more than that. He was the best golfer on the tour there. And what happens now? Does he go away, like, because he's on the lift? What happens to Bryson DeChambeau now?
It's a great question, you know, and he'll be back this week. You know, there's another live event this week in Nashville, Tennessee, and we've got some plays on that we can go over here shortly. I did not land on Bryson. I mean, you know how it is after winning a major like that. Hey, Scottie Scheffler turned the trick. He won a signature event after the Masters, but I don't think any normal human being can necessarily turn around and do that, especially the way Bryson got it done. It was, you know, one of the more dramatic finishes we've seen all season. And I think he stole it a little bit. You know, I was talking a little bit earlier with somebody else today that you got to credit Bryson. The shot he made out of the bunker was a championship shot, 55 yards to 3 feet. Absolutely amazing. But I feel like if you're weighing the scales here, I think the scale's a little bit more tipped towards Rory blowing it than it is Bryson winning it. I hate to take something away from some guy like that, but I think if you put my feet to the fire, I'm going to say I put a little bit more blame on Rory than I do credit on Bryson.
And, you know, give him credit. He knows it, too. And he didn't he kind of alluded to it a couple of times. I mean, you got to make the shots you want. I will still never understand, Brady, the final two groups all off the tee on the 18th, driving it into the exact same place. It was driving me absolutely crazy. But he gets it done. Now the elevated event coming over here. No Rory. He wasn't hanging around for media. And he later posted on X that, he's going to take the rest of the month off. That's great. So then does a guy like Patrick Cantlay go to TPC River Highlands, a place that he knows pretty well? We're always seeing big numbers at this place, 16, 17, 18. Like, what wins this tournament, and who should we be focusing on?
Cantlay, you mentioned this guy not the course record. Jim Furyk has the course record. I think he shot 58 here, not 59, 58, which is 12 under par because it's a par 70, but still absolutely amazing. Patrick Cantlay, I think it was when he was an amateur, maybe shot a 60 here. So yeah, we're going to see some low scores. If you take the average winning score for the last 5 years, it's better than 18 under par. And Keegan Bradley last year got to 23 under. And in 2022, Xander Schauffele got to 19 under. So, yeah, you want to be able to make some birdies. You got to find a hot putter. I really think the skill sets are kind of similar to what we saw last week. You got to keep the ball in the fairway, be a ball striker, hit greens in regulation, and then a little different from last week where you're just trying to, you know, desperately save par. This week, you run a roll in some birdies.
Scheffler, your favorite, but I'm not seeing favorite prices on your outrights here. My goodness, this is right up my alley, Brady. Fleetwood, Connors, Straka, Kim, talk to me here.
Yeah, you know, I could easily get burned by Scotty because, you know, bettors tend to gravitate towards what they saw last. And now the general public doesn't want to have anything to do with Scotty Scheffler. Well, you know what's going to happen. He's going to win this thing by 8 strokes, right? You know?
So true.
But I really think that hangover is probably going to linger a bit. That, you know, the disappointment is probably going to stick with him for a minute. And I don't know if he can bounce back that quickly. So, I went with some longer shot guys here that, again, have been playing really well. Fleetwood with the top 20 last week. Connors with the top 10. Sepp Straka makes the cut. He's got 3 top 8 finishes in his last 5 starts. And then Tom Kim hasn't missed a cut in more than 2 months. He's just steady Eddie and always seems to find himself in the top 25 with a chance. So we can talk more here on the other side, but that's the direction I'm
heading. I love this. All right, we'll talk LIV as well. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Brady Cannon hanging out with us here as we're talking some PGA as well as LIV Golf, big event coming up on LIV Golf. But just to wrap up on TPC River Highlands, we're expecting a big number. Like you said, I love the guys you pulled out with Fleetwood, Tom Kim. You got some great numbers there. But unfortunately, like you said, Scotty Scheffler no longer the public favorite, but he is still the favorite nonetheless. What are we thinking about some of these other guys? Usually it's a after a big major? I mean, what do we do with Xander? He's been one of the best golfers all year. He was once again, you know, in one of the final couple of groups there coming out of Sunday. Are we expecting maybe a little regression here as well for some of them?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, it maybe the best bet you can make week in and week out, Joe, it doesn't matter where we are, what tour, is Xander Schauffele to finish top 10. I mean, it's
top
just
10.
Automatic,
it.
You know? Yep. And so I'm not going to discourage that once again. Yes, I would say he's the second best golfer in the world right now, next to Scottie Scheffler, and he's won this tournament in 2022. So, you know, Xander ought to be right there once again. Scheffler, like I say, it wouldn't surprise me. This guy is not going away anytime soon just because he had a bad week. I just feel that that hangover, that disappointment might linger a little bit. And, you know, so I went with some guys that are a little deeper down the board, priced pretty similarly as they were at the U.S. Open. And that's what's interesting about Scotty, too. Scotty was 3-1 at Pinehurst with a field of 156. Now he's 4-1 in a field of 71. That's kind of weird. And then, you know, Fleetwood, Connors, these guys that I went with, Tom Kim, I love the form that they're in. A lot of top 20s and a top 10, you know, and probably weren't too stressed by being in the hunt down the stretch on Sunday, but also were in the thick of a thing enough to continue that good form that they've got going on. So I think they roll it, and they were popular picks last week too. Sepp Straka has become, like, you know, the pick of the day when it comes to major championships. Well, why not pick him here when the spotlight's a little dimmed, you know, and not everybody's focusing in on, hey, I got the sleeper pick that's going to shock the world. You know, this guy still has the skill set that works perfectly for this golf course. So yeah, Straka, Kim, Fleetwood, and Connors, I think they ought to be all right there. If they don't cash in outright, we ought to be looking pretty good for a top 20 finish, again, when there's only 71 guys in the field.
I'll tell you one bet I will be making consistently from now on is Russell Henley top 10, because that's all he does there, Brady Cannon, and nobody knows about him, which is priceless. Talk to me about Liv here. No DeChambeau, he'll be here, you said, at this tour, and I'm sure a lot of eyeballs will be excited at this. Maybe that carries over from the U.S. Open, but who we betting if it ain't DeChambeau?
Well, this is interesting. It's called The Grove in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a tree-lined golf course. Driving accuracy here, I believe, is going to be a factor. Driving accuracy, greens in regulation, and then scrambling and putting. Scrambling when you miss these greens in regulation. It's a Greg Norman design. Now, we have a Greg Norman design that was used earlier on the LIV circuit back in February, Mayakoba, right outside of Cancun in Riviera Maya. I've actually played that course before. Russell Henley, I actually nailed him when he won this golf tournament a few years ago at Mayakoba. Now it's a LIV deal. There's also a Norman course on the PGA Tour regularly, the Valero Texas Open at TPC San Antonio. A player consultant that was involved in that Norman design at TPC San Antonio was Sergio Garcia. At Mayakoba back in February, Garcia finished second, lost that event in a playoff. So I think maybe there's something here to Sergio kind of knowing the Norman technique when he designs a golf course. Maybe. I could be dead wrong, but he has results to show that he seems to do well on Norman tracks, and he has that connection with Norman, having designed TPC San Antonio with Greg Norman. So I'm going with Sergio this week on a course that Norman designed, where, again, last week, total driving was big, long and straight. We saw Sergio finish 12th at the U.S. Open. And he hits greens in regulation. He's top five on the LIV circuit for driving accuracy and greens in regulation. Having a fantastic year. Took him at 20-1. And also Louis Oosthuizen, same thing. Number two on the LIV circuit in driving accuracy. Number one in scrambling and number two in putting. This guy's having a fantastic year as well. Took him at 20-1. And then Dean Burmester at 25-1 down in your neck of the woods won at LIV Miami. We hit him here on the grid at 28-1 that week, 25-1 here. This is another guy that a lot of people were on last week at Pinehurst because he's one of the hottest golfers in the world right now. Been playing very well on the LIV circuit. He's ninth in greens in regulation and eighth in scrambling. So those are kind of my three guys that I think, you know, have a real shot here. And then I went with one guy that's a bomb at 100-1, Caleb Surratt. He's 20 years old. and Mayakoba, I go back to the Norman design where he finished 13th. Okay, so that tells me he's not too shabby on a Norman design course where you have to be accurate and all that type of thing. He also went to the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. I have to believe he's played this course a couple hours away in Nashville. So I'm going with a little local flavor here at 100-1 with only 54 players in the field. Maybe we get lucky, Joe.
I love it. I mean, Sergio, you had mentioned it. Top five off the tee, greens in regulation. It feels like everything I've seen on this course, that's the most important thing. Put it in the fairway and hit the greens here. But I asked you prior, is Rahm back? And Rahm is back, yeah, apparently, and he's right, going in this. But does it help him that he didn't come out of the U.S. Open? Maybe some of these guys are a little drained.
I've seen some guys on John Rahm, and, you know, Rahm's kind of a guy that you almost auto bet every week on the LIV circuit because he's finished top 10 in every event. Mm. And you got, I mean, he's John Rahm. One of these times he's got to win, right? But, you know, the major championships, you know, he's been all over the map. He's been really good on the LIV, and then he goes and plays in a major, barely makes the cut. He's all over the place. You know, he was a mess at the Masters, wasn't any good at the PGA. Then he's got an infection between his toes, has to pull out. And it's odd that all of a sudden that's better, you know, a few days later. You would think like something like that would linger for a minute. But, yeah, it could be good for him, Joe, that he didn't have another nightmare outing at a major championship and roll into Nashville incredibly disappointed or what have you. Maybe this is a good situation for John Rahm. But I stayed away because I did bet him, I want to say it was a couple tournaments ago. I think it was when they were in Singapore. I bet him because I felt that was a very good course for him. And like I said, the guy's been playing so well. He's going to win eventually. I hope it's just not this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I believe the Korn Ferry Tour used to play at this this course.
Quite a bit, right.
Right, and they were – usually it was Birdie Fest USA, but they're not expecting – that here. And don't forget, guys only play three rounds, right? So the winning score in a LIV is usually some obnoxious birdie fest, but they're not anticipating that for this one here. So what are we looking? Maybe 10 under, 11 under wins this?
It could be. You know, the average winning Ferry Tour was like 17 or 18 under, and that's over four rounds, right? Now, so what's that? You know, basically 3.5 under par per day. You got to figure the LIV's probably going to exceed that a little bit. I would say you're probably looking at 12 to 15 would be my guess as a winning score. I think, you know, it never hurts to have a good.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Guy that makes birdies, Dean Burmester can do that. Louis Oosthuizen with a hot putter, you know he can do that. You know Sergio's going to find the fairways and greens. And we just hope Caleb Surratt finds lightning in a bottle and maybe we hit a triple digit guy this week.
Listen, the fact that you came on this show giving out somebody at plus 10K, you are my hero, Brady Cannon. Outstanding stuff as always, my man. Listen, enjoy your trip. Enjoy the sights. Enjoy the golf here, my friend. We'll talk to you again later in the week. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Peter Paella. All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Wednesday to you as we get ready here tonight. Couple of Major League Baseball games underway right now. We did have about four or five games early today that were completed, and you got to love the getaway days because all sorts of strange things usually happen here, like Patrick Corbin winning a game for the Nationals against Arizona. That happened early today. Also, how about Tarik Skubal getting zero run support today? In fact, the Tigers scored no runs, and the Braves scored seven. So they were able to get it done against one of the Cy Young candidates here this year in the American League. It's good to see the Braves got it going in the right direction there. A solo home run was the difference, by the way, with the Pirates today. They ended up beating the Reds, and Hunter Green won nothing. That's kind of crazy. And the Marlins did it again. They ended up coming back in a slugfest and walking it off once again against the Cards here as the Marlins won 4-2-3 here. The Padres finally won another game today. We didn't think they were going to do it, but this kid Waldron is the real deal. He took on Ranger Suarez, and the Padres won 5-2. Cubs end up taking it down 6-5 against the Giants. And now we've got a couple of games underway, including the Yankees and Gerrit Cole. 1-1, knotted up bottom of the second there. 3-0, Guardians still on top of the Mariners, keeping an eye on that one. And we've got no score, Red Sox, Blue Jays, or Rays and Twins. Now, we still have a couple of games still getting ready to come up, including the Mets Rangers. That'll be at the top of the hour here as Manea taking on Andrew Heaney, and the Mets just a 7-game winning streak, refuse to lose. They're getting great at bats. They're scoring runs. The bullpen has been phenomenal, and the Rangers have been the antithesis of that. They get no runs, and then when they do, the bullpen blows up and they can't stop anybody from scoring. So absolutely rough, and I mean rough stretch here for the Rangers. The good news is I believe Max Scherzer's in the dugout doing what? I have no idea, but Scotty Wetzel stepping in here getting ready for these late night games, including this Mets Rangers game. I saw Scherzer in the dugout, and I'm like, oh, great, he's back, but it ain't helping the Rangers win games. And my goodness, not a good look by the Rangers. What do you make of this Mets team, though, man? 7 in a row, can they keep it up?
That's amazing, right? Going for their 8th straight
win. Unreal.
You know, the Rangers, Joe, are about a 30-game swing from last year's record after 73 games to this season. I mean, that is a huge, right? We all kind of remember, at least I do, last year's great, you know, run in the postseason. But Texas was actually a really good regular season team. It's like a 25-30, you figure it out, do the math, of the 4 or 5 games under 500 now to 20 games or so over 500 they were at this point last year. So it's amazing. I got to keep on playing the Mets, right? Rangers have lost 5 in a row, 10 of 14. Mets are going for their 8th straight win. As soon as you write this team off, you know that they put together a little spurt. So do like the Mets. Do love the Houston Astros as well tonight, by the way. Just because it's the White Sox, right? I mean, are the White Sox really going to win 2 in a row? They've only won 2 in a row like 4 or 5 times all year. They only have 20 wins, so it's not like they had that many opportunities, but I know the pitching matchup actually goes towards Chicago, but anytime I go against the White Sox laying less than the .130, you know, 120, 125 or so, definitely like that. And I tell you, one of the better plays, I think, it's a goofy bit of a play. I don't generally do this, Joe, but I'm going to go over 3.5 runs, Kansas City at Oakland. This Luis Medina guy, he stinks for the A's, right? He's 0-1 with an ERA over 11 at home this year, just one or two starts. But in his career, the A's are 5-21 in his 26 career starts. I mean, he's awful. He's more than capable of giving up 4 runs all by himself. You know, anything we get from the A's is a little bonus. So do love the over 3.5 runs Kansas City tonight. First 5.
I know. I like that. I mean, Reagan's is the guy that you want on the mound if you are Kansas City, who had a gauntlet of a schedule here, Scotty, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Guardians, Seattle. So I do like them to get one back here. But I don't know how anybody can sweat out an under in Colorado against the Dodgers tonight. That was the most unbelievable late game, Scotty. They're getting pinch hit home runs in the 9th inning, grand slams. I'm like, what is going on here? Feltner on the mound here tonight, I believe. Oh, my goodness.
And then you got
the right fielder in Colorado is screaming as the ball's going over the fence.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I didn't think it was that bad of a call. To tell you the truth, I'm going with the over 10.5. I really didn't think it was that bad of a call. The way they reacted, I was like, I got to see the replay because this thing must be like a full swing, right? And it was. It was one that you could have called either way. I mean, you see it all the time. You know, the bat may have gone ahead, you know, but he actually checked his swing, but the bat may have gone, ahead of the plate. So you do see that called a strike every once in a while. But I didn't think it was that bad. So, yeah. You got the Rockies pitcher, Ryan Feltner. You're talking about stinks.
Oh.
He's 1-6, 0-2 at home with an ERA close to 7. Now you got the pitcher for the Dodgers coming off the IL because he had shoulder soreness. So how are we not getting 11 runs tonight in Colorado?
I have no idea. The guy is a total gas can, and Miller just came off the IL. So what? Right. I mean, this just feels like buckle up. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Our boy Crochet's on the mound with the White Sox. First five strikeout prop? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going to go Houston. I know he's actually a halfway decent pitcher. And like half their wins this year have come with he's been on the mound. It's amazing. But again, anytime I could go against the White Sox, just to lay in less than a run and a half, less than really 150, depending on where you do your shopping, I'm going to go Astros tonight.
Love it here. Of course, you got plenty coming up here, Scotty, including some WNBA games tonight, a little late night with Seattle and Vegas. You'll have the Lynx coming up here. So, yes, what I'm talking about here. Scotty's got you covered in Game Live primetime. He'll be leading it coming up. We'll wrap it up next, Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we wrap it up here, this edition coming up. Top of the hour here, you will have Scotty Wetzel, Dave Sharapan, a little in-game live primetime, and plenty going on here tonight. Some really good games in Major League Baseball. You got a couple of WNBA games that eyes will be on, and Scotty Wetzel just told us about his two favorite plays coming up in both the Seattle and the Aces game, which I believe Gray will be back now for Vegas here tonight. 172.5. He liked the over in that one. He also liked the Atlanta-Minnesota Lynx game to go up and over at 162.5. Both those games they'll be covering for you coming up on In-Game Live Primetime. In the meantime, we're also getting ready for the College World Series taking place in Omaha right now. And the other side of the bracket, the final slot, who will go and take on Tennessee for the national championship? Tennessee beat Florida State just about an hour ago, so they have punched their tickets to the championship. Now the question is, will it be Florida or will it be Texas A&M? We're starting to see a whole lot of money come rolling in on Texas A&M, minus 140, plus 110 for Florida. Florida, just dismantled Kentucky earlier in the day here. Both of these teams can hit the ball. Wind is blowing out to right. 11.5 is that total. A lot of injury concerns here for Texas A&M, but I will tell you this. A lot of experience on that Florida Gators team here, and they're going to use a lot of it tonight in order to try to punch their ticket to go up against Tennessee. It's amazing that nothing but a all-SEC final one way or the other is what we're going to get as the most of the SEC teams who are anybody were actually in the College World Series this year. And when it's all said and done, I hoped it would have been an ACC versus SEC since those were the two best college baseball conferences this year. But nope, it looks like it's going to be an SEC battle for a national championship. Good news if you're a Yankee fan here. Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight for the first time. Missed the first 75 games of the season for the Yankees. But the good news is he's thrown pretty well. It's 1-1 right now, top of the third. This is now going to be the second time through the order for Baltimore. So we'll see how they handle him. But I'm seeing 96, 97 on the radar gun. The ball looks to be moving, which is pretty well. He's up to about 40 pitches right now with one out and a runner on second for the Orioles. So far, so good. It's good to see Gerrit Cole. No Aaron Judge, if you're just joining us tonight, but he is in the dugout, and it does appear to be, knock on wood, precautionary. So after being hit last night in the hand. So hopefully they'll get him back sooner rather than later. Red Sox, Blue Jays, 1-0. Red Sox just scored a run, and the Rays and Twins, 0-0 there. Bottom of the first inning. The Guardians are still blanking the Mariners, 3-0. Tanner Beebe on the mound for the Guardians at Progressive Field. The Guardians swinging the bat pretty well. Still no runs, though, for the Mariners with Brian Wu on the mound. We are looking very forward to a couple of these games coming up a little bit here, including the Rangers and the Mets. Can the Mets get that eighth win in a row? What a turnaround this would be. And take a look at him now if you haven't seen him. This kid, Crochet, starting pitcher, rookie for the White Sox, taking on Houston. Hunter Brown on the mound for the Astros. But this kid, Crochet, is going to look really good in a Yankee or Baltimore uniform probably this August or September, as the rumors continue to swirl about which team he will be traded to coming up within the next month or so. And boy, oh boy, he is something else to watch. He is the lone bright spot for a White Sox team that has had nothing exciting or to celebrate so far this year. Dodgers, Rockies coming up late night. Angels and the Brewers, Peralta versus Anderson. And Peralta has gotten absolutely lit up in his last four starts. Can the Angels make them pay for missing the strike zone? We're going to find out. But either way, we have got you covered as in-game live primetime. Straight ahead here. Don't go anywhere. Game Time Decisions will be back tomorrow here on the grid. Enjoy your night and cash those tickets.